We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're going to talk more about Roquan and what we are expecting from him, and we'll get into some Cubs talk as well. Big series against the Brewers.
Big series.
Is it a big series? I know Dustin says statement games, but don't you feel, and maybe you don't feel, do you feel that the division race is over?
I do think that the division race is all but over. I think the Cubs are going to emerge in the Central. That's not exactly going out on a limb, but you asked the question, and I would answer it by saying that there, to me, is really no huge threat to the Cubs.
How about this one? And we haven't talked about this yet, but the 2018 PGA final round posted a 69% increase in market share and ratings.
Is that a lot?
From 1 year to that, 69%
wow.
increase. And that, of course, is the Tiger bump we're talking about.
It is Tiger. It's all Tiger. All Tiger all the time.
Yeah. What?
It was compelling.
Yes,
I was part of that group that would have.
I was watching too.
That watched, and I would not ordinarily have watched. I'm not going to say that I would have devoted as much time on Sunday to watching that unless Tiger Woods was in contention. No doubt about it.
Well, I would have watched anyway to see who won, and it would have been fun. I don't know that I would have stayed with it in the same way that I did because of Tiger.
It would have been a passing interest, and it became sort of an obsession.
Yeah. Tiger, that last round of his was unbelievable. And, you know, I'm reminding myself as I watch it that Tiger is usually the guy that's in the lead, and he holds people off. He's not the guy that comes from behind. And Brooks Koepka was fantastic. He was very poised. He did a great job of just hitting the ball. I mean, it was he was not in any way pushed by Tiger. Do you see what I'm saying?
He wasn't phased.
No.
He was not intimidated.
No.
He did not have the sort of reaction that golfers used to have with Tiger Woods on a leaderboard on a Sunday.
And that kind of happened at the British Open too. And that is
why.
Well,
it's been 10 years, Mully. They've had a decade to adjust and readjust.
And a lot of these guys watched Tiger when they were kids, basically. And he doesn't, you know, they're like, wow, that's Tiger. Oh, hey, how you doing? But it's not I can't beat Tiger it was with David Duval or whomever back in the day.
Absolutely. So basically from your ratings information, the awe is with the audience, not necessarily the field with Tiger. You know, we're affected by watching him play on a Sunday.
Definitely.
But the players on the course, they're like, okay, he's just another guy.
But he's a very important guy for golf.
No doubt.
But
that's good for golf.
But I'm not sure he's going to win another major.
I think he will.
Really?
Yeah,
based
I do.
On,
I think he
based
will.
Based on what?
Based on the last two majors.
Okay.
Based on the fact that a year ago he wasn't sure if he was even going to play meaningful golf again.
Okay.
Based on the fact that he was in contention at the British Open and the PGA, and the Masters is really his tournament.
The Masters, a lot of those lefties have an unbelievable advantage in the Masters.
I think he will win a major again. He's 43 years old.
A big advantage.
He's 43. He's got probably 2 to 3 years left of contention. This type of ability to be
8 to 12
a top 10.
8 to 12 shots left, and that's if he stays healthy.
I say yeah. I think.
Okay.
I think. He will.
I mean, I like the idea that, but he's not beating Jack. Can we agree on that? Because wasn't he going to bury Jack's record?
Well, I think we can agree on that because of the last decade, not in the last couple majors.
Do you think that his issues were injury-related entirely, or was there a psychological?
You have to think that they were both.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as we have learned about his personal
life. Right.
And all the things and turmoil that he must have been dealing with, you can't logically conclude that wouldn't affect any normal person. I know he's not a normal person. He's an extraordinary golfer with a rare set of skills that we can't relate to, but he's also human. And if you are human, you're going to be prone to being vulnerable to those kind of things. I mean, his personal life was a mess.
Yeah.
How could he?
But it was also.
Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone.
So I think it's both.
But I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying is it wasn't just that his personal life was a mess. It was that it got out. His secrets were revealed. And in a way, what happened with Tiger before, I mean, the injuries ultimately are what derailed him. But what happened with him, it was almost like a boxer. It was almost like Mike Tyson losing. And the bully is beaten. And then it's hard for the bully to win again. And then all of a sudden people look at him as human. They don't look at him as someone that whatever psychological advantage that you had is somehow erased. It evaporates. You know, it's extraordinary that since, you know, that incident with his wife where, you know, supposedly Six Iron was involved or whatever it was, the driver, from that point on, he has not won a major. It's got to be both, right?
Yeah, I think definitely.
2008 U.S. Open is the last time he won a major.
Long time.
It's a long, long time ago.
Rocco Mediate, runner-up there. Remember that guy?
Wow.
Yes, I certainly do.
And he was no Brooks Koepka.
Wow. So how many tournaments is that? If it's the U.S. Open, then it's the PGA. So it's 10, it's 41 tournaments?
10 times 4 plus 1. I think it's 41.
Wow. Or maybe it's two. When was the
it's a lot.
Open?
40.
42? 40
plus.
40 plus. Okay. We'll let it go. I just think it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's just a lot. It's a lot of frustration.
It's a long time.
It's 5 surgeries. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot going on there. The White Sox failed to hold on to a 3-0 lead yesterday. Don't know how much it means to you. Lucas Giolito going tonight for the White Sox.
Why do you say, you don't know how much it means to me?
Well, I mean, no one seems to care. There's only a few of us monitoring it. Kevin cares, and I watch the Sox.
I care about what happens with the Sox.
Okay.
Adam
but
Engel.
But I think they're at a point in their season where it's hard to.
They're easy to ignore.
Well, they're easy to ignore.
Maybe. Adam Engel homered.
Yeah.
He giveth and he taketh away.
Oh, boy. Three big catches in 1 week got him on all the talk shows. But
well, wouldn't you talk about that? I mean, that's valid.
I still don't think he's part of the future. I said that to you. You wanted him to be considered a cornerstone. And
no,
I didn't.
I wouldn't
go along with it.
I asked a valid question about a guy with that good of a glove. Can he be part of your team when you are actually good? What does he have to do to fit in on that team? He has to hit 250.
He has to hit more than one home run.
He's hit a couple lately.
Okay. He has to hit more than a couple lately.
What's he hitting? I like the player.
Kevin?
I
know you do.
He was recruited as a defensive
back. I like
Charlie
Tilson. I would prefer to see Charlie out there.
Really?
Chicago guy made good.
He's hitting 227 for the record. 275 on base, though, so that's good.
Okay. I'm not suggesting he's an offensive machine. I'm not even saying he's a threat.
What are his power numbers, Kevin?
He has 4 home runs.
Okay.
And
2 lately, right? He's at 2 like in the last week.
14 doubles.
And keep going.
That's 3 triples. That's not bad, actually.
Okay.
Fast. You can run a little bit.
All right.
All right. I'm not. And listen,
Me to care about the White Sox, and then you dismiss my thoughts when I do.
No, that is so unfair. It's not true. I don't dismiss your thoughts. I was expressing my thought.
I like
that
Adam Engel as a player.
And I don't think he's part of the future. I think if he's their center fielder in 2 years, then they're not advancing in the fashion that I hope they would.
I don't think he could be your starting center fielder on a good team. I think he could be on your roster.
How many of these guys on the roster right now? I mean, we're not going to sit here and pick apart the team, but
the White Sox?
I'm just saying.
Abreu, Tim Anderson, Moncada.
See, Abreu, I would stop you there. In 2 years? I'm just saying, that means you're giving him another contract, right? And
yes.
Tim Anderson, what role? And Moncada? Boy, I mean.
Tim Anderson,
did he
outfield.
Strike out again twice last night, Kevin, I believe, Moncada? Struck out swinging. I mean, not just looking. I don't know, David. Listen, Moncada's got to be a part of it.
You must have had a bad experience at the Sox game the other night.
No, I enjoyed the Sox game the other night, and I think it's good value to go out there, and it's a fun crowd, and you're talking to people, and you're wandering around. I just wish that Ronaldo Lopez had pitched better. I wish Lucas Giolito, I wish I believed he was part of the future. I wish that they had more. That's all. I'm not trying to diss them. I'm just saying right now I think Carlos Rodon is part of the future rotation. And Ronaldo Lopez is at some, I don't know, 4 or 5. He's in it.
But he's a major leaguer.
Yes, but I don't
he's
know.
He's in your rotation. Yeah.
But I don't know how. I don't know where he fits in, and I don't know how many guys.
Finding his way, young
I don't
pitcher.
Think Dylan Covey is.
No, I don't either.
I hope James
he could be
Shields
good out
isn't.
Of the bullpen. Covey's good like one time through the lineup. Yeah. He could be like a seventh inning guy.
Suddenly, it's White Sox Weekly.
Oh boy, see. You care deeply, but now you're making fun of us for talking about
it. Now you wonder why Mully is the way that he is, David. Look at what you do to him.
Okay.
Let the record show.
All right.
I am wounded, but I will carry on. We're going to talk some Cubs baseball next. We'll bring in Len Casper. We'll find out his thoughts on whether or not the Bodie night can, what would you call it, ignite a deep run here?
Propel.
Nice. Very well played. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. It's Mully and Haw on the score, and we should tell you this segment of the Mully and Haw show is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and we are delighted to welcome in Len Casper. And Len, I got to tell you, I found myself watching the David Bodie home run and thinking to myself, is Len sitting on his couch just yelling out a call? Because I know you'd have done a lot better than those Fox guys, but what a moment. What another great moment in a season of them.
Hey, Len.
No question. Good morning, guys. I was actually down on the field doing some radio with the guys and interviewed Jason Hayward. It was an October-like atmosphere in the middle of August. You know, just the way that inning developed, that's one of the best, not only regular season, but I think moments in general, even if you count the postseason, in this latest era. Just the fact that the Cubs had done so little offensively against arguably the best starter in the league, it was a great win, and you really felt like the Cubs stole two games from the Nationals in that series, and the Nationals then have their hearts broken again last night in St. Louis. So it's been a rough time for Dave Martinez and his crew, but from the Cubs' perspective, those were much-needed wins going into this series against Milwaukee.
Want to talk about what's going on in St. Louis in a second, Len, because the Cardinals are hot. But when you look at what this potentially does for the Cubs, the question that has come up since the Cubs had an off day yesterday a lot is, what does the David Bodie home run mean in terms of, you know, is this the time where the Cubs really build off this one win? Is this the time where they go on a run? How do you interpret what happened and its effect?
Generally, David, I don't think it's related to anything big picture. I think most games are just entities unto themselves, so to speak, and I think that it really is about the next day's starting pitcher. It's Quintana today. It's Hendricks tomorrow. Those things probably matter more than anything. I think after the fact, it's easy to point to certain games and say that was the catalyst, and there may be something to that, but I'm not smart enough to know when those moments occur. And I know you're going to ask about the Cardinals, but you know the Pirates had an 11-game winning streak earlier to kind of catapult them back into the race. The Cardinals now are the team that's been hot in the division, and all of a sudden you look at the standings and they're kind of creeping back into it. By the end of the year, you are what you are, and your hot streaks and your cold streaks, they all kind of blend together. And I think the way the division stacks up right now, it looks like the Cubs are the best team, the Brewers are probably a playoff team, and then one of those other teams might be able to grab a second wild card. But the bottom line is this has been a really good division this season. And after the 3-18 start, the Reds have basically been a 500 club. So there has not been one rollover team in the NL Central. And I think that's instructive when you look at where the Cubs are. It has not been nearly as easy this year as it had been the last couple of years.
David said something yesterday that's been banging around in my brain, which is that when we see what Bodie did and when we see whatever, is it 37 come from behind victories, maybe we need to talk more about whatever the magic is that they're having this season instead of what the shortcomings are with the rotation and what the injuries are. We do a lot of kind of picking apart and worrying about things. But boy, they are having an absolutely kind of magical season in its own right with a guy like Bodie. What a story this kid is. And
yeah,
they're a
yep.
lot like that, Len.
Yep, and I think it's both. I think it's all of it. I do think it's legit to say, you know, the starting pitching hasn't quite been what everyone expected it to be. The injuries have played into it, but every team, you know, deals with injuries. I think the comeback Cubs, it's about a really good offense, a really good bullpen. That combination matters because the starting pitching might give up two or three early. The Cubs have struggled at times offensively against maybe some unfamiliar names. And then you get into bullpens late, and you're not supposed to score, and that's where the Cubs have been at their best offensively, and that's also where the Cubs have been at their best with their pitching staff, keeping the other team where it is. They do have a never-say-die attitude. I think they play, you know, I hate this term, play the game, quote, the right way, but they do generally do all the little things really well, and I think we've seen other teams make mistakes on those little things, and it's allowed the Cubs to win games. I mean, Wilmer Defoe's a good defensive second baseman. He was brought in the ninth inning to be better than Daniel Murphy. It wasn't an easy play, but the bobble opened the door, and Hayward ends up with an infield hit, but a play that should have been made. Ryan Madsen, I know, his back was bothering him a little bit, couldn't finish his pitches, but he hits two guys with off-speed pitches. You know, those are the kinds of moments where it seems like the Cubs always take advantage. And I agree with you, Mike, back to your original point, that we should acknowledge that and realize that even in games and in weeks and in months where it's just not quite going well, the Cubs seem to find ways to scratch out wins like that.
Len, I think the sense is Chris Bryant will be back by the end of the month. Hopefully that's in the optimistic viewpoint, perhaps. But whenever he does, already you hear sort of the chatter, okay, what do you do with David Bodie? He's played himself into a position of where he's part of the conversation. Can you envision a healthy Bryant returning and David Bodie taking playing time away from Addison Russell?
Yeah, sure. I can envision that. You know, I think the biggest question is going to be when Chris is back in terms of August versus September. If it's September 1st, David's on the roster and there's no issue. If it happens to be a couple of days before September 1, you know, if you look around the roster, there aren't a ton of optionable guys. And, you know, if it comes down to a Bodie or a Hap or somebody like that, you know, I can see fans being upset if David ends up going back to Triple for 2 or 3 days. But quite honestly, he's been here 5 times this season, and if that has to happen, it has nothing to do with his value to this team. It's simply about the numbers crunch on the roster. Let's just get it on the table. He's on the roster on September 1st. He's on the roster in the postseason. He's on the roster on opening day next year, most likely, and is going to be here for the rest of his career. But because of the way it works, Randy Rosario's pitched well. He keeps going back and forth to AAA. It's just the Cubs have a really talented 40-man roster, and they've had to kind of juggle some pieces. So that's the only issue I can envision, David, is when Chris comes back, if it's August 27th, and they need 3 days to buy some time for their roster, that might be the only way he ends up back at AAA for any length of time.
Well, Bodie might have to go back to Iowa to get his car.
Yeah, that would be the way to sell it, I think, to the fans. He needs his car.
It's still parked in his apartment complex.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Funny he talked about that yesterday.
Len, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Len.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next week.
That's Len Casper, TV voice of the Cubs. That's awesome.
He'll be back next month. Go get the car.
You know, if that were Chicago and someone was telling you the guy left his car, it might be burglars. I'm just saying. Is anybody going to steal that car out of the Iowa parking lot? Probably
speaking
not.
Speaking of, does Trubisky still have his 97 Toyota as well?
No, he gave it back to his grandma.
He and Bodie could drag race or something with their old beaters.
I don't know. There's a David Bodie ice scraper on eBay, though, going for $27.95.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's David Bodie. He was on yesterday. with Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight, and it was interesting to hear what he had to say, and obviously very gracious kid.
Everything about him is interesting right now. Right
no now, question.
He's on top of the world. He's got a permanent place in Cubs lore based on that one night. No matter what happens next, there's always going to be the David Bodie night, the
David Bodie game. You know, Len kind of did I hear him say that he's on the playoff roster?
I think you did hear him say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he
is he on the playoff roster?
I think on August 14th, it's a safe assumption to make that David Bodie has proven himself worthy of being on the playoff roster. Let me ask you this. Yep. If he's on the playoff roster and it's opening night of the game one of the playoffs, everyone's healthy. Is he in your lineup?
I would not think so.
You still going with Javi?
Yeah, I'm going to go
Addison
with
Russell.
I'm going to go with the former MVP and maybe the current MVP.
You're not getting my drift.
You're saying you want Addison Russell benched and you want Javi Baez.
Can you say with certainty
shortstop
today that at game one of the playoffs you're going to start Addison Russell over David Bodie?
Yes.
In the infield.
I think you would.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong about it.
It's a question that's worth asking.
It's a fair question. I just think that Addison Russell has a track record in Major League Baseball playoffs. I think Addison Russell has played in a World Series. I just think it's hard for a manager, even Joe, to mix it up to that point when you get into these do-or-die games. Having been there, having done it, is a very important factor.
Remember 2015, the play-in game with the Pirates? Didn't Tommy LaStella start at third base? Who'd have thought
that's
that?
That's right. That's correct.
Who'd have thought
Dustin,
that?
Dustin, I think, was
much to
about
the
that
chagrin of one Dustin.
And so I'm just saying, I know it's a reaction, an overreaction to a great night by a cool guy in a moment that can't be duplicated. But
it's a legitimate question. I would think, David, that if you know, does Ben Zobrist start in that game? Right? When you start talking about playoffs and who's playing what, and and his bat is pretty hot. I mean, I just think I think it's hard to try to figure out how Joe wants to line him up. And I think everything that Joe does, as much as we pretend that it's just, you know, kind of this, you know, hippy dippy baloney, it's all based on numbers. there is a factual reason behind the majority. Why are you laughing at me? You don't like hippy dippy baloney?
I like that.
It's from the
Lego movie.
It rolled
off your tongue pretty quickly, though.
It's just from the
pretty
Lego
naturally
movie. Kevin,
kind of like to say that a lot.
Hippy dippy baloney.
Yeah, it's Will Ferrell. Let's get to the phone line. 312-644-6767. Chris is on the road. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you today? This is awesome listening to you, and I do not think this is an overreaction like everyone's saying. First off, before we get into that baseball talk, what do I got to do to get this Cars for Kids commercial off the air? Because I'd rather listen to my wife tell me to criticize my Cabela's spending habits than listen to that kid sing one more time.
I believe if you were to finance your own series of commercials to replace it, you'd have to pay for your commercial and probably their commercial to get it replaced. But I'm sure there's a way around it. Money.
I guess I got to turn around and get one of those Powerball tickets then. Okay. All right. So, hey, about this baseball thing with Bodie, I don't think this is an overreaction at all. I was actually at a bar sitting there watching this game, and before the Grand Slam happened, I was talking with how this kid has proved himself as not only, you know, just a good person to have for depth, but he's proved himself so far, and this is not an overreaction on my end, he is a good third baseman. He's not the bat that Chris Bryant has, but this kid has made some plays down the line where he's laying out. He is a really good third baseman, and if he has time to develop, I don't know what the ceiling is for him.
Well, Chris, he's a good infielder. I think he could play second, short, or third. I mean, that's his versatility. And I'm not suggesting he start ahead of Chris Bryant in a playoff situation. I think that you could look at him at second base, Javi at shortstop, and Chris Bryant at third. That would be the lineup that I think is a possibility.
I see what you're saying there, and I absolutely can't argue with that. But I have a little spin here that I'd like to say.
Okay.
Why can't Chris Bryant play left field for the Cubs? Chris Bryant is there for his bat. He has an elite glove as well. But Chris Bryant, if we're talking about longevity, for a guy that you see as your the face of the franchise, it's ultimately him, Anthony Rizzo, and Baez. Those three are our franchise. Why can't Chris Bryant go play some left field? We do not have a defined left fielder. Kyle Schwarber, I love him to death. He's exciting to watch play, and I see him as part of our, you know, long-term goals. But why couldn't Chris Bryant play left field? And let's give this we already know Ben Zobris is a beast in the playoffs. Yep. We know he elevates his game and turns into a completely different player in the playoffs. Why can't I see Chris Bryant playing some left field for the Chicago Cubs?
Thanks, Chris. Well, he can play anywhere, but I think it depends
because Kyle Schwarber is your left fielder.
He is left fielder, and you really want that bat in the lineup in the postseason.
Absolutely.
Because something different about the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's
without Kyle Schwarber in 2016, you're not having a parade.
Chris Bryant is your third baseman. He'll come back and play third base, and Kyle Schwarber will remain in left field.
No questions asked, really.
Let me ask you something. He said the three pieces of the future that you're building around are Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and Javier Baez. Did you believe that before the season began?
No, I don't think that you would have included Javi Baez in that group.
Exactly.
I think that you had questions about his ability to, you know, be the consistent hitter that he has become, to adjust at the plate,
and
become an MVP type candidate.
Yes.
And he was probably more likely to be traded before the season.
Okay.
Now he's a cornerstone.
So how do you know that the same thing doesn't happen with another player? You know, we talked about
who else fits that category.
We talked
Molly.
About Addison Russell as we talked about him as an MVP. Now it's, you know, trade bait. Get Manny Machado. You're going to trade him. Manny Machado at the trade deadline. You're going to trade. Well, you know, Addy's included in that deal. He's got to go. He has no future here. You know, maybe
you're saying don't give up on him yet.
Well, how old is Addison Russell?
I'm not giving up on him. I'm asking a valid question.
But I mean, we're dismissing. He's 24 years old.
Right.
Okay. So let's say, and I don't know exactly why his performance slipped a little bit in the last year or two, but let's say that whatever it is can be corrected. And all of a sudden, there's like a kind of recommitment to everything. Who knows where he ends up?
It's a heck of an infield.
That's an unbelievable.
Trade him. I asked a valid question whether or not the playoff lineup should include David Bote over Addison Russell based on the fact that David Bote has been pretty clutch.
312-644-6767. John is in the Western Suburbs.
Clutch.
Hello,
John. Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was on already. No, you know, Bote is... I look at him as a real trip this year, okay? He came out of nowhere. He's done a nice job for the Cubs. But you got to remember, he's a rookie, okay? You're not going to start a rookie in the playoffs over a veteran like Russell, okay?
He's a 26-year-old rookie, and Russell's 24-year-old vet.
All right, but Russell's been in the playoffs. He's been in the World Series. He's done that, okay?
I agree with you.
You know, I look at Addison Russell as a guy down the road that could probably hit 20 home runs for you. Probably no more. Drive in, you know, 75 runs. That's a shortstop. Defensively, the guy, he's going to smooth out what little problems he might have, okay? He's going to be a number 8 hitter in that lineup. He's a good, solid infielder, okay? He does his job. You're not going to put Bote out there in the playoffs. You might pinch hit him when you get to the World Series. You could probably get him out there then because Schwarber would DH. But other than that, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
Yep.
Valid points about Addison Russell. He's helped you in the postseason. He's part of this core. I'll take him on the south side if you don't want him. I think it will depend on who's hot. It could depend on who's hot going into the postseason.
Jay is in Chicago. Hey, Jay.
A lot of options. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. I think everybody in Chicago is forgetting how good Chris Bryant is. Yesterday I heard trade Chris Bryant. today, I just heard. No. Put him in left field and put Bodie at third. Bodie is playing great, and we want him to play great. So next year, we can trade him for a valuable piece that's going to help us win another World Series. We have already have the core. Bodie is not part of it. It is just great that he's coming out to play this well. But people are forgetting how great Chris Bryant is. And Kyle Schwarber is one of the better, statistically better left fielders in the game right now. And, yeah, it's hard to believe that, but he is. And no one is subbing that bat for a left fielder. This is happening.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think that you need to discount Chris Bryant, and you can by complimenting David Bodie. They're not really related.
No.
David Bodie's done a great job filling in as Chris Bryant has been injured, but nobody's suggesting that, you know.
Well, let's hope not.
That's a long-term solution to that problem or a replacement.
We haven't even talked about Ian Happ. He's 24 years old, right? I mean, you start looking at the age of these guys, presumably their best days are ahead of them, as great as they've been up to this point.
Almora.
I mean, Almora for sure. Baez is 25. Schwarber's 25. I mean, these guys are unbelievably young for ball
players.
Yes,
but you know what, Molly? It's David Bodie week in Chicago.
Okay, I'm
okay?
sorry. I apologize.
So come on. Stick with the theme.
I
get the memo?
No, but now that
on
I
the
have.
Email stream?
Now that you've explained it to me, okay. I will back off.
It's David Bodie week.
Okay, to hell with Chris Bryant. It's all about David Bodie. No one is ever going to
say
that.
Nobody said that.
But it's Bodie week.
It is Bodie week. Everybody in.
Find somebody to love. Let's take a moment here. We will bring in Jerry Angelo to the conversation. We'll ask him about Roquan Smith, the end of the contract impasse. How quickly do players get up and running? And Jerry's been through it. And
Cedric
we'll
Benson.
Find out exactly
that was
what,
quite an ordeal.
What went wrong that time and what will go right this time.
And what's next?
The former Bears GM will join us next. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.